I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go.
From the Lighthouse Chapel International, Apostle Joel Obuobisa will inspire you with anointed, practical, and down-to-earth Bible-based teachings that will refresh, energize, and motivate you to do your best for God. Join the Apostle now as he ministers the Word of God.
Come and preach in your church. Hallelujah. Amen. This is a personal father to me and lady pastor. He's been our pastor since we joined the church in 2002. Is it 2001. Yeah. Been with us, been a father to us, mentored us, has counseled us, has been with us through thick and thin. Amen. Wow, it's a long time. 16 years. It's amazing. Yeah. And he's a great man of God. Hallelujah. Amen. He's not only a bishop, he's an apostle. Today I can't give all his credentials because of time, but he's not only an apostle, but he's the chairman of the bishop's council. And he has come here to minister to us tonight. So we are not going to be the same. With a standing ovation, why don't you put your hands together? Let's welcome our own Apostle Joel.
Hello, hello. Wow. Amen. Good to see all of you. Wow. I think it's been a few years since I've been here, right? Wow. Well, as your pastor said, God has been gracious to us. And, you know, it's a blessing. And I'm glad that we're all here. Amen. And to see you, you look well. Yeah, some people. I hear so much has happened since I was last here. Some people have gotten married. Some people have found beloveds. And I won't be surprised if there are some new babies in the system. And some babies are cooking as I speak. But it's a blessing. Amen. You know, you have to learn to live life with gratitude. You have to wake up in the morning with thanksgiving. No matter how things look to you. Do you see what I'm saying? You need to start from the starting point. You need to be grateful to be alive. Do you see? It's a blessing to go to bed and to wake up again and be alive. I mean, if you think about sleep and what it is, the most incapacitating phenomenon. The worst thing next to death that can happen to a person is when they fall asleep. Do you see how people can fall asleep even in the wrong place? It is something that descends on you and you are so helpless against it. You sleep, you forget your bags, forget. I once fell asleep at an airport. When I woke up, somebody had stolen everything. Yeah. I tried to guard my bags and stuff by sleeping with my foot on it. I don't know if the guy moved my feet or what, but I woke up, everything was gone. Yeah. So for something that can happen to a person and leave you so helpless, if you go into that state for what? 4, 5, 6, 7, and for the gifted one, 8, 9, 10. You can sleep for like 10 hours straight, 12 hours, some people, and you still wake up. You need to be grateful to God. Amen. And I think that God has been gracious to us to allow us to meet again. And we pray that there will be many, many more such meetings. Say amen. You must always remember that no one owes you life. There's no one who owes you living. Do you see what I'm saying? It's God who is gracious to us and gives us life. And as long as we find ourselves with it, no matter what is going on, whether things are as you would like them to be, or that they are not as you'd like them to be, whether things are working out or not working out, you need at the foundation of it must be a heart of gratitude. Do you understand? You must always be grateful, no matter how the cards deal with you. Amen. And as you remain grateful, you will find over time that things will change. Amen. You will just find out that it was just a curve in a long journey. Do you see? There's no road that bends forever. It bends for a little bit. Then it straightens out. Do you see? So it will straighten out. Amen. Tell your neighbor it will straighten out. Amen. Amen. Your financial situation will straighten out. Yeah. Your marital situation will straighten out. It will straighten out. It will not be a bent forever. No, you better receive it. Yes, you better receive it. Because even the bad situation, you have received it. You already have the bad situation. The good one can't hurt. So receive this one too, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Some of you who have not been doing well in school, you're going to begin to do well. Amen. Receive that as a prophecy in the name of Jesus. You're going to begin to do well by the grace of God. Amen. Amen. God's favor and God's blessing and God's help will be upon you. Amen. To lift you up and to take you through. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your blessing tonight and thank you for the opportunity to share your word with the brethren tonight and tomorrow night and Friday night. I pray that by the time we're through with this, you will impart something into us and into this church in the name of Jesus. Give us a new heart, Lord. Give us a new passion for the things you are passionate about in the name of Jesus Christ. May we be a church after your heart. May we be a church you love to dwell among. May we be a people who never lack your presence. Forgive us our sins. Forgive us our failings. All the things we should have done that we didn't do. We ask, Lord, that you be merciful unto us and forgive us. And all the things we did we shouldn't have done. We ask that your blood will cleanse us from those also. And we pray that tonight the Holy Spirit will be with us. Open our eyes to behold wondrous things out of your law. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says, Amen. Okay. So you may be seated, please. Amen. And tonight is a short one because our time is already gone. I'm sorry that our time is already gone, but tomorrow will be earlier. Amen. And I wanted to share with you what I think is probably the most important message. Amen. See, I was just thinking, what shall I share with you? Because, you know, you call the meeting a convention. See, then I started to feel stressed. You get it? I said, what are these people expecting me to talk about? Hallelujah. Amen. But God gave me something to share with you, and I think I'm going to obey that. Amen. And I believe that it will be a blessing to you. Say amen.
Amen.
So I'm going to share with you about the ministry of reconciliation. The ministry of what?
Reconciliation.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, it is very important for us to understand what is most... Is it possible to bring this guy closer? Yeah. There's some stuff behind us if you just lift it straight. Uh-huh. Okay. That's enough. Yeah. All right. Will you forgive me for moving your pulpit? Okay. Just forgive me. Yeah. Closer is better. Right. Amen.
Amen.
Now, I was saying that it is very important for us to understand what is most important to God as far as your relationship with Him is concerned. Hallelujah.
Amen.
See, the church, and when I say the church, I mean the church at large, every church, the church of Jesus Christ, right? The church is under a constant temptation, do you see, to move away from the main thing. Do you understand? To move away from what is most important to God and the purpose for which He has left the church here. Do you see what I'm saying? Because God must have a reason for leaving the church here. Do you get it? God must have a reason why He sent Jesus Christ to come and die for us. And then after Jesus died for us, He left us here. Do you understand? Because it's not easy to be here. How many have realized that it's much as we don't want to live here, it's not easy to be here. Is it not true? Yes. And it's not easy to be a Christian while you are here. Yeah? Being here is already difficult. That's one level for everybody, no matter your faith or creed. Do you get it? Then when you're a Christian here, it takes things up one notch. Do you see? It's another level of difficulty. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. But all said and done, we still don't want to live here. It's fantastic. Amen. So you need to understand, why has God left us here? Do you understand? Because he saved us through a very expensive process. He paid a very high price to purchase the church. Do you understand? To purchase the church, it cost God his only begotten son. Because the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Do you understand? Now, you need to understand why God is even purchasing us. Because God made us for his pleasure. He made us so he would have fellowship with us. A very great God made us so we would have fellowship. And you shouldn't be surprised that God wanted to have something he could have fellowship with. Because we have a nature of God in us. And we always want to have something we can play with. Yeah. Is it not true?
It's true?
Yeah. From when we are little, we always want to have something which is many steps away from us. Do you understand? In terms of even life, if you compare yourself or your child with any of the toys they play with, you'll see that the child is many, 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 many grades above the toys they play with. Isn't it? Yeah, so you shouldn't be surprised that a God who is many, 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 many grades above us still makes us and wants to have pleasure with us. That thing in us we get from God. Do you get it? But then sin comes in. Do you get it? And the sin separates us from God. But God wants to have pleasure with us. Do you see? So he introduces Jesus Christ, who comes to fix us. It is like your child's toy getting broken and you sort of fix it so that that relationship can continue. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So God is very interested in us. But the problem is that to be able to get us back and to be able to restore that fellowship, it cost him his only begotten son. And that's not a fable. Jesus Christ came to die because the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. You can try. You can try to, you know, remit your sins without adding the blood. It's like throwing your clothes in the washer without adding the detergent. You try it. Do you see? And you see that the thing will just go round, 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 and finish. When you open it, you see the clothes are dry, but the stains are inside, and they're even more set. That's the problem with humanity. Every effort we have made as human beings to get rid of our own sins by ourselves has left us even more sinful. Are you getting what I'm saying? So God decides to pay the ultimate price, and that is to send Jesus Christ to die for us. And I tell you, look, if there was only one of us to be saved, Jesus would still have to die. Huh? Jesus would still have to die. If you wanted a teaspoon of Coke, how much Coke would you have to buy? Huh? You would still have to buy a whole bottle. isn't it? Yeah. Because that is how it comes. Yeah. So if you want to remit sins, whether it is one person's sin or the sin of the whole world, the price is the same. Jesus Christ had to die. Does it make sense? Yeah. Jesus Christ had to die. So Jesus Christ came to die so that you and I can have our sins forgiven. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, this is the message of salvation. This is what you mean when you're talking about salvation. You're talking about a human being who was created in the image and likeness of God. Do you understand? When you create someone or even give birth to someone, it's a compliment when people say he looks like you. Yeah, sometimes people don't like it when they have a baby. And you and don't do that. When you go to see someone's first baby, try to see some resemblance. Even if it's not there, try. Check the nose, check the ear, check the eyes. Just let it be true, but try. Try to find some resemblance, because they will not be happy with you. You don't go looking at someone's baby. Anyway. And then you say that, oh, sometimes it's an ancestor. They'll never forgive you. But it's always a compliment. Do you understand? When God said to make mankind, he said, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness. It was to bestow honor on man so that man would look like his maker. Do you understand? So God meant for it to be a compliment that you look like God. And when that image was tarnished by sin, then it became a burden on God to redeem man so he can restore that image. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes. So God loves mankind. God loved us so much. He made us in his image. He made us in his image. Means he can never forget about us. He really likes us. God really likes humanity. He loves mankind. You better believe it. From now on, when you see a human being, you should think that way. Start thinking that this is someone God must like very much. Yeah. God must like people very much. He really does. Whether they are businessman, they are a student, or a homeless person, God loves them very much. Amen. God so loved the world, is what John 3:16 says. God so loved the world. God, you see, if you read it too quickly, you miss the meaning. You see, God so loved the world. You miss the meaning. God so loved the world. That's what he's saying. God loved the world. Yeah. You know, and if you're reading it properly, you should be very curious. After you read so loved, you'd like to know what he did. If I told you that Brother Hope right here so loved his beloved.
Wait. Okay, all right.
Why, did he do something wrong? Or I did something wrong? Okay. So if I said to you that Brother Hope right here so loved his beloved, would you not want to know what did he do? What did he do that makes me say that he so loved? Yeah.
It's a message.
Do you understand?
Yes.
Yes. So it's no wonder that John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Then he says that whosoever, anybody. Most people don't love just anybody. But as human beings, our capacity to love is so small, it's pitiful. Yeah, so small. Often we don't love people unless we have something to gain from it. Is it not true? Yeah. You see a guy dress up till it's a baby. And then he puts some kind of... some kind of limp in his walk. Usually he has his mind on just something, just one thing. I mean, soon after he gets it, he walks straight. It's not his normal walk at all. Has something in mind. Our expressions of love are so fake, so unreal. One day I was with some people and one of them was suggesting that it was the other person's birthday. So let's take that other person to lunch. Do you understand? So I'm with Pastor Michael. And Pastor Michael is saying, it's this person's birthday. You know. And so he says, oh, let's take her to lunch. And I say, oh, wow, okay. Then let's go to a Chinese place. Then he says, I don't feel like Chinese. Do you see what I'm saying? He's even suggesting that let's take the person out to lunch is really to feed himself. He's the one that you're just putting her name on it. But I think we are so fake and so selfish and hypocritical about our love expressions is not even funny. But God, he so loved the world. Think of how many people are in the world. I mean, your circle of love is very small. You and your wife and your child. Yeah, you see, sometimes you see even people, the way they sort between their child and another person's child. Well, I know a lot of Sunday school teachers who are mothers themselves. They're actually at the Sunday school place to babysit their children. It's not like they're coming to teach anybody's child anything. They don't trust anybody in the church to look after their child. No. So they've come to personally police their child. And they are calling themselves Sunday school teachers or safe teachers, as we call them. But they are not safe teachers at all. They are just personal child minders for their own child. Yes. Yes. Do you see? But God, he so loved the world. Different people, different temperaments, different tribes, different colors, different races, different nationalities. different languages, different IQs. God just loves people. Because every one of us is a reflection of his image. Do you understand what I'm saying? You see, God is so vast. He is not adequately represented in any particular race or tribe. There's no one race or no one tribe or even no one gender that can fully express God. You can't show me what God is like by showing me a woman or by showing me a man, for that matter. You will find that you, when you take God, you will find maleness in him, and then you're going to find femaleness in God also. You're going to find things in God you can't find in a man, but which you can find in a woman. Do you understand? Yes. And then you'll find things in God you can't find in a woman, but you find in a man. So God is too big for any one person or one tribe or one group of people to sort of represent him properly to us. No, it's not possible. Since God started making human beings, he's on the 7 billionth one, and still no two fingerprints are the same. He hasn't repeated them yet. He's done 7 billion of them. For every face that God makes, he puts two eyes in the same place. He puts an eyebrow on top of each one of them. He puts a nose in the exact same place. Every nose is pointing downwards with two holes in them. And then he puts a lip right on top there and another lip down here. And when he combines them, yet no two faces look exactly alike. They have the same components, but their faces are always different. Do you see what I'm saying? Then he has other internal things. Even where the faces are similar, then you see the personality that lives inside the face. It's making that face respond to smiles differently. Hallelujah. Yeah. If you make something this fantastic, it shouldn't surprise anybody that you fall in love with it. So God so loved the world. That is why when Adam and Eve sinned, God came and said, "What is this that you have done?" Those of you who are mothers, you know how you can come out of your room and find out that your child, thinking he's playing, has destroyed something very valuable. And you come in with frustration. So what is this that you have done? Usually if you're from Africa with some smarts. Yes. It's original upbringing. You see what I'm saying? So God said, what is this that you have done? Because it may look like a small thing to you, but you have ruined humanity. You have destroyed humanity. You have destroyed a great plan that I had. So then God sets himself on a journey to redeem mankind. Do you see? And God makes us travel through generations of people finding different ways to get rid of sin, including with the blood of animals and so on. And none of them is able to restore man to that original state. Do you see? Yeah. Then because sometimes you need to take a major decision if you want to see a major change. The reason why we don't see much changes in our lives is because we take minor decisions and we expect major results. Do you see? Most people don't want to make a major change or change something significant in their lives. Most people want to shift things just slightly and want the results to be big. But when you shift things slightly, things just change slightly. Many of us know we don't need a slight change. You need a major change. And if you're needing a major change, you're going to have to make a major move. Do you see what I'm saying? So then God decides, I'm going to make this major move. That's how he sends his only begotten son. And there's a reason why the Bible repeats only begotten son. Only begotten son. Because it's a hint on the price. He's trying to tell you what it cost. I believe that God is hoping by using only begotten son, he's hoping that you understand it. Because when you have something and it's your only one, you know what it means. Every one of us has had an only something before. Some of us still have only things. Something that is the only one you have. It's the only car, it's the only house, whatever it is. It's the only one you have. The Bible says, his only begotten son. Having given his only begotten son is supposed to be a message to us about the extent of the love. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Is it making sense to you? God really loves us. God really loves mankind. That is why the Bible says he doesn't want anybody to perish. It is you and I who think that some people are perishables. Yeah. And I can bet you that God is not happy with you for having such a thought. That some people are disposable. They can go to hell. Yeah. Yeah. He gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him should not perish. Should not perish. Should not perish. Do you see?
Yes.
Must mean that the perishing must be serious. Going to hell must be a serious thing. How do you know that? It's the price we pay to prevent people from going to hell. If the price is that high to stop people from going to hell, then going to hell must be a very serious thing. Do you understand what I'm saying? Huh? If the price is so high to stop someone from going to hell, it costs someone's only begotten son, then you better not be in hell. But he says so that instead of going to hell, you will have everlasting life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So this is the message of salvation. This is what God wants people to understand. So after he has paid such a price and washed us and cleansed us by the blood of Jesus Christ, precious blood, expensive detergent that has been used to wash us and to cleanse us, then he sets us right back in the same world that made our cleansing necessary in the first place. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like you take your precious thing and you buy some precious detergent and you wash that thing and it becomes very clean. Then when you finish, you just set it right back on the floor where you found it in the first place. If you do something like that, you are either off, nearly off, or totally off. Do you get it? Or there remains one option, one more option, that you must have a very good reason for doing that. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
Yeah, you are either just off bonkers totally, or you must have a very good reason why you would take something, pick it up from the floor, clean it up nicely, and set it right back where you found it. Because really, I mean, if you want to bring something home to you and make have the same fellowship you used to have before, you know, then the day of salvation, everybody's day of salvation must be his day of death also. Yeah. you get saved straight to heaven. Do you get it? So that there's no more chance or no more opportunity for contamination. Yes. Because look, how many of us will be honest, just tell the truth, honestly, since you got saved and God left here, it's not been easy. Yes. Sometimes you have come really close to even losing the salvation that... And some people are even struggling and wondering whether they're even saved. Because sometimes you catch yourself either doing something or even thinking about doing something. Yeah. One day I was in a certain place. I saw a bunch of ladies just walking, wearing some really skimpy. You know how you have some clothes that are almost not worn? It's on the person, but it doesn't look like the intention was to wear it. Yeah. And then as the person is just passing, I'm just looking. And I'm looking. I say, hey, Bishop. You want me to tell you the truth or not? I say, hey, Bishop, come on. Shabalabalaba shandaria. It's not easy to be in this world. Pressure. See a young man, then he falls in love through no fault of his. See, there's a reason why they say you fell in love. Most falls are not planned. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. Because you see, there are three people. One, two, three. And somehow you feel drawn to. It's not with your permission. You get it? It's not with your. Look, Frank, isn't that what happened to you? Yeah. Because this lady had friends and she was with everybody, but somehow you just feel drawn to this one. And it's the thing is pulling you. I tell you, without your permission, you go to bed at night, the person is on your mind. You see? And you are being sucked into it. You know? And what is painful is that it's sweet. It's a sweet... Sweet pain. You see, now you're in love with this person, and then you're supposed to walk with this person and, you know, walk in holiness, walk in purity, and see this person you can't touch. Somebody had a song called Can't Touch This. You can't. Does it make sense what I'm saying? It's really true. God must have a very good reason for leaving us here after he has paid such a high price to demonstrate his love for us in redeeming us by his blood. See, now, that is what every church, every Christian must find and latch onto. Are you getting what I'm saying? That what is the reason why we are here? Why are we here? Why has God left us here? Why hasn't Jesus come to take us and take us to heaven? Because heaven, from everything we read in the Bible about heaven, I mean, on all fronts, by all standards, is better than this Oklahoma City. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. It's better than this place. I mean, you have a beautiful airport, fine, but I mean, I don't think it's any match for anything in heaven. So why has God left us here? It is when you start to think that way that your Christian life begins to approach having meaning. Yeah. That's when you start to see the essence of church. You start to understand why you as a Christian are here. Why has God kept you here? Suddenly, every breath of yours seems to have meaning. And even your desire to be here for a long time, your unwillingness to die, suddenly has meaning. Yes, because otherwise ask yourself, why are you unwilling to die? If you claim that death is the way you get to heaven, from here you're going to heaven, isn't it? Yeah, and you say heaven is better than here. Listen, as far as I have known, human beings have always migrated to any place they consider better than where they are. Is it not true? Human beings have always gravitated towards anything that gives them access to a place that they consider better than where they are. That is why embassies and so on in places that the developing countries, they are always crowded with people. Yeah. So then there should have been a whole crowd of people waiting to die. That's what should have happened. If we truly believe in heaven as a place better than here, do you understand? There should have been a long queue of people looking for someone to kill them. So it's either that your belief in heaven or what you believe about heaven is false. Or you have a reason for choosing here over that. You can only be on those two sides. It's either that what you believe in heaven is totally absurd, is false, which is possible. You may be lying about what you're thinking about heaven. Or if you truly believe it, if you truly believe what you believe about heaven, then in order for you not to appear as a madman, you need to assign yourself a good reason for being here. Does it make sense? Yes? So that reason is what I'm attempting to explore with you in what I'm sharing with you. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Now in 2 Corinthians, chapter 5 and verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. The Bible says that if any man be in Christ, this is after you have encountered the love of God and after you have become saved. Do you see? Try to get this. Are you getting it? I'm just about to close. Okay? But listen, he says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, if anybody be in Christ, right? He is a new creature. Do you see? Then there is a colon. When there's a colon, it means what is following is just explaining. I'm not about to say something new. I'm just sort of opening up what I just said a little bit. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So he said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That means old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Is that a good verse or what? Yeah. Aren't you glad that old things are passed away? Yeah. This is from God's perspective. Do you understand? Yeah. God's perspective, because some of us are haunted by some of the old things. Because the old things weren't good. They weren't good at the time. Bad, bad, bad. Bad, bad, bad. Yes. And the guy who wrote this, you know, he really needed this verse. You see, and I'm not surprised that he wrote it. Because he was bad, bad, bad. Do you understand? He said, he's the guy that used to catch people, throw them in prison, beat them. I mean, he'll go to a church and whip the pastor in front of the members. Beat them, throw them in jail, you know, have people killed and all sorts of things. Then later, you see, then later, he has an encounter with Jesus Christ. Do you see? Who calls him to preach the same message? You know, so every place he goes to, people are just wondering, what's going on? So I can imagine a lot of his sermons will start with, therefore, if any man be in Christ. You know, because he just takes one look at the faces of the people and he can just tell what's going on. He said, listen, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. That's something you need to tell yourself all the time. Every time the devil brings you memories of the past, you need to say, all things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Some of the old things are not even sins. Do you get it? But some of us have, you know, things that have been with us for years. Sometimes unexplained depression. You don't even understand why you are sad. But you're just sad. You just have a season of sadness that seems to fall on you, you know, like night falls on you. You know, and you don't know why. You can't explain it. You don't even want to see anybody. You don't want to talk to anybody. It just happens to you. You need to tell yourself, listen, if anyone be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Some people have struggles with childhood experiences. Sometimes horrible things people did to you that have scarred your memories of your childhood. You know, and only you know what's going on in your mind. So these are not things you can talk about. You can't even explain it. Sometimes you can't articulate it, but you know it. You have a picture of it in your mind that never wants to go away. Sometimes it makes you angry. Sometimes you just don't know what to think of it. You just don't know how to handle it. This is the verse that liberates you from it. That if you enter Christ and encounter Christ, all things are passed away. All things, no matter who did what, is passed away. Behold, all things are become new. God gives you a clean sheet of paper. God gives you a clean lease on life that you can start over again. And it's a genuine start over. Never believe the devil when he tells you this is a fake start over. Believe the scriptures. Believe the prophecy of scripture. Believe that God says it's over means it's over. That it's new. All things have become new. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Doesn't matter if you've killed someone before. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. I once went to a meeting somewhere and I sat next to a pastor. And he was telling me about himself. Told me he's been to prison before. And I got curious and I asked him, what did you do to go to prison? He whispered to me, I killed somebody. From that point, I was not comfortable. Then he told me that one day somebody, he said some young guy was just trying to date his daughter. And so the guy came to the house to take the girl out. And he just went outside to see who the guy was. And then as the guy was going with the girl, he just called the guy back. And said, excuse me, can you come back? And then he just brought the guy back. And then he just whispered, I just wanted you to know I've killed someone before. I just thought you should know. Yeah, I just thought you should know. Yeah. Well, you can go with her, but I just thought you should know that I've killed someone before. But even for that person, all things are passed away. All things are become new. That's how he can become a pastor. And that guy, God has used him so mightily to plant so many churches. So many churches. Yeah. Former killer. But if you look in the Bible, you see God has used a lot of killers. God loves killers. I told you, God loves mankind. God so loved the world. And the world has killers in it. Don't be surprised that God loves killers too. And what God has done with some of these killers is amazing. Like Moses. You get it? Yeah. God, the guy, self-imposed exile for killing. And God says, that's the guy I like. Yeah. There may be a lot of nice guys in town. God says, I like the killer in the wilderness. That's the guy I like. Amen. But look at the next verse. It says, all things have become new. Then verse 18. Verse 18 says, he says, and all things. Who's sharing the verse? Are you bringing it? Good. It says, and all things are of God. Can you see that? All things are of God. Who has reconciled us to himself by who? Jesus Christ. Can you see that? God has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. Isn't it? Huh? Did God reconcile us to himself? Do you know what the meaning of the word reconcile is? It means to make two things that can't relate to each other begin to relate with each other. Do you understand? It means to make two things understand themselves and relate to each other. It means two things that were maybe, you know, sometimes you see friends that quarrel, then you say, we're now reconciling them. Do you understand? It means two people who stopped talking before and who were not talking anymore. Now we're putting them back together and making friends of each other again. So God reconciled us to himself means that you better believe that before Jesus Christ, you and God are not friends. Does it make sense? Yes, you better believe it. If you haven't met Jesus Christ, you are not God's friend. He loves you though, but you're not his friend. Amen. The Bible says our sins separate us from God. You shouldn't be surprised. You've seen it before. Some of you who have little children, sometimes when you dress up and you're ready to go out, your little child whom you love is running to you with stew on his fingers. Do you understand? Do you run and embrace him with the stew? Isn't that when you start to, hey! Yeah. So I like you, but I don't like what's on your fingers. The thing on your fingers makes me step back from you. So you shouldn't be surprised. You say God loves you is perfectly compatible with God is not your friend. Because otherwise you'll be asking me, if he loves me, why are we not friends? Yeah. But he can love you without you being his friend. Just like you can love your baby, but you are running away from her. But then you go, you, not the baby. The baby can't do anything about her stains. So it still takes you to find a way of grabbing the baby and bringing her to the sink and cleaning those fingers. Then you embrace that same baby and then you start to love that baby again. You say, does it make sense?
Yes.
So God reconciled us to himself by Christ Jesus. But it didn't end there. Then he said, and hath given, no, back to it. It says, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Did you see that? It says, God reconciled us to himself by Christ Jesus. Now, whoever us is, at least you agree with me that whoever us is in the first us that is used there is the same person they are referring to in the second us in the third line. Do you think they are talking about the same person? Right? So is it safe for us to say every single person who has been reconciled to God through Christ has also been given the ministry of reconciliation? Frank, does it make sense? So there's nobody who has been reconciled to God by Christ Jesus, who has not been given the ministry of reconciliation. So if you have Christ, you also got a ministry. That makes everybody in Christ a minister. Huh? Yeah. That's what it means. I mean, if it doesn't mean that, well, I don't know what else it means. Then we better close the sentence. This is plain English. God reconciled us to himself by Christ Jesus and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, making people friends with God. God has given us the job of making people friends with God, reconciling others with God. This must be the reason why he left us here. Hope, isn't it? This must be the reason why, after paying such a high price to clean us up, he still leaves us right here. Because you have to have a good reason to be here and to not want to go to heaven yet. Yeah, you have to have a good reason. Otherwise, you're totally crazy. Something wrong with you. What are you doing here? In this place where there is terrorism, where there is burglary, where there is high insurance payments, ever-changing gas prices, rent, sickness, green card issues. If you have read your Bible enough, you would know that there are no green card issues in the Bible. Maybe the word green is in Bible, but I don't know if card is in the Bible. And even if the card is in the Bible, I don't know if the two occur in the same sentence. It's here that you have green card issues. It's here. Yes. For some people, it's the whole thing. It's the only thing that's robbed you of peace. It has sent you places you would not go. It shacked you up with people you would rather not shack with. It's placed you in places It's made you enter arrangements, so many ugly things that you wouldn't have done. Why wouldn't you welcome something that liberates you from that, even the need for it? Except there's something wrong with you. But I'm giving you the alternative to that explanation. There's nothing wrong with you. God has kept you here for a purpose, because he gave you the ministry of reconciliation. Because God is not done. God is not through with saving people. God is not done. There are so many people to be saved. Do you understand? There are so many people to be saved. There are so many people. God loves all of them. God loves the homeless. God loves the rich people. God loves the educated. God loves the uneducated. God loves the married. God loves the single. God loves white people. God loves black people. God loves those who've done their hair, those who have not done their hair. God loves everybody. God just loves them. Do you understand? Yes. God just loves them. Yeah. You may not like people who haven't done their hair, but God likes them. He doesn't want any of them to perish. Yeah. He doesn't have. You can never say, oh God, but it's enough. He's got enough. It's like you have three children. At the end of the service, you're going home. When you get to the car, there are two of them in it. So it's enough. There are some of the children in the car. It's enough. Let's just go. Tomorrow, come for the rest. Yeah. You have three children. You want all three children in the car. You don't just want them. You want them in the car and trapped in the car, not going out. You shut the doors with the door locks. They can't escape. These are your children. Eesh. Precious children born in Bethlehem. Is my message making sense to you tonight? How many can accept that you are a minister of reconciliation? Can you accept that? Can you accept that? Can you accept that as the reason why you are here? That God has kept you here for that purpose. Yeah. Now, when you're here and you're not doing your purpose, that's when life starts to lose meaning. Do you understand? Look, if you were to be hired for a job and you get there, and they said you were coming to do this, and you thought this is what you're trained for, and you get there, so you just be washing the dishes 1 week during lunch break. That's your job. You start to be frustrated. It's still you. You still have the job in the place. They're probably even paying you the same thing. But the fact that you are not being applied to what you were hired to do is cause for frustration. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. I know a lot of wives who are frustrated because they feel like, no, but he doesn't relate with me like a wife. I don't just want to exist. I don't just want to. I was living in my mother's house, in my father's house. I was eating there. I'm eating here. You know, and I was sleeping there and I'm sleeping there. But there's a reason why I transferred from there to here, because of this word wife. But as I'm here, I'm living just like I was living there. I cannot accept that. A common cause of frustration is when people are not applied to what they were hired or acquired to do. Or engaged to do. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. And I'm offering it to you as the reason also why many Christian lives are purposeless and meaningless, and also the cause of a lot of Christian backsliding. Do you understand? Because many Christians exist for anything else but their purpose. Some people feel that the purpose of Christianity is for God to bless me. You think about it. God bless. Imagine that every time you say God bless you, he adds something to you, right? So bless you. is there. Bless you, is there. Bless you, is there. Bless you. Have you offended your wife or something? Just imagine that. Bless you. We add something. You have something. Bless you. We add something. Bless you. Say, brother, God bless you. God, look at that. Do you see how stupid this picture looks? Yeah. But that is what Christianity has become for many Christians. Many Christians running from place to place, just looking for bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me, without actually doing the real purpose for which God has left you here. You want God to bless you. What about the ministry of reconciliation that he gave you? So God bless me. Oh, I hear there's a prophet over there. He has prayer meetings at 3 a.m. So 3 a.m. What is that connection number? Give me the connection number. Just you are dialing in, talking to a prophet in Germany. Yeah. The prophet is in Germany and he's having a conference call in Oklahoma City. You want to be told fables. You want someone to tell you, I see. You know something? Call me offline. That is what you want. That's what Christianity has been turned into. No wonder we have such a bad reputation. No wonder people call us thieves. No wonder people think this whole thing is just a sham. It's just something we are doing just to get money, because they can't see a point to it. You think about it. If a church is not involved heavily in the work of reconciliation, what are they doing with all their offerings? It's true. You just think about it. You can't blame anybody for questioning your motives and saying that you are in this thing because it's business for you. And that, but you can't blame them, because they add up 2 + 2, but they can't get the answer. So when you add and add and the thing doesn't add up, then you put your own answer there. That's what the world is doing. Because they don't see us engaged in the ministry of reconciliation. All of us have received Jesus Christ, yes. But what he gave us, which is the ministry of reconciliation, the work of reconciling other people to God, that is the only reasonable and acceptable explanation for why we are here. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes. And as long as we are not doing it, we shouldn't be surprised that we have or experience difficulties, shortages, poverty, sickness, and all those kinds of things. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. If you were to understand what is important to God, you will understand that a lot of things that we are chasing after, God has already promised that those things will rather chase after us. Do you get it? When you start reading your Bible from Matthew, you don't read too far before you encounter Matthew 6:33. Do you see?
Yeah.
Matthew 6:33 says that seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. And you see, he's not confused about what he means by these things at all. Because if you back up a little bit and go to maybe like verse 30, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 30, it says, wherefore, if God, well, maybe to verse 28, go to like 28, let's see what's there. 28. He says, and why take ye thought for raiment, what to wear, isn't it? Right, maybe go to verse 27. Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? Right? 28. Then it says, and why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Which is this thing here, it describes our lives. Toiling and spinning. Do you see that? Yes. That's a very apt description of our lives here on earth. Toiling and spinning. And he said the lilies of the field, they grow. That means they flourish. Means they advance. Means they go forward. Means they improve. It means they do well without toiling or spinning. And then the reason behind it is the next verse, verse 29. It says, and yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, so God is the one behind it, who eliminates the need for toiling and spinning for these guys. Do you understand? And he says, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? He says, shall God not much more clothe you if you would do it for grass? Shall he not much more? Because there's no verse that says, for God so loved the grass that he gave his only begotten son. Do you understand? So it can never be that God loves the grass more than you. Shall he not much more do what he does for the grass for free? Shall he not do it much more for you? Oh, you of little faith. Do you understand? Then the next verse, 31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? What we will eat, what we will drink, what we will wear. It's talking about the basics of life. Do you understand? And he says, you're not supposed to worry about that. Right? The next verse. Then he says, verse 3, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. I don't think we believe that. That God knows you have need of these things. Have you seen someone who had a baby and didn't know that babies use diapers?
Hey, what the mother?
Have you seen one before? The baby poops. Huh? What is this? What do I do with this? Have you seen a baby ask his mother, please, can I have some diapers? Have you seen that before? The baby is born and he asks his mother, can I have some diapers? Maybe, granted, when the baby starts talking, they'll ask for something. So what about the baby is born, they don't talk. So from that point to the time they start talking, how are their needs met? This is for those of you who say, I don't even know how to pray. Because, you know, that's the reason why people run to so many different people for prayers and all these things. Because you feel they can pray some prayer that you cannot pray. Okay, fine. But I'm saying that even the babies who can't talk, their needs are met. These little creatures who only cry, the same sound is made when they are hungry Same sound when they are thirsty. Same sound when they want to sleep. Same sound when they are announcing they are awake. Same sound when they don't like who is carrying them. Same sound when the room is too hot. They make that one sound, and there is somebody who is equipped to interpret them each time they make the sound, and they're able to get these babies to stop. And you say God made you and he does not know what you need? Do you see what I'm saying? Then he says in the next verse, but seek ye first. He said, notice how it says it introduces it with a but. Do you get it? This is not the problem. He said, this is not the problem. The problem is not that God doesn't know what you need. The problem is that you're not doing what you were set here to do. That's where the problem is. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things, what things? What things? The clothes, the food, the drink, the things he was just talking about. Yeah. He says all those things will be added unto you. Oh, you see, the formula for prospering is not really difficult at all. You don't have to jump in over any few pews and do all kinds of gymnastics and all sorts of things. You don't have to be on a 3 a.m. prayer meeting with some prophets over there in Germany or something. It's not that complex. He said, you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and God has promised he will add these things to you. God will add these things to you. God will add these things to you. God will add these things to you. Yeah. That's the master key to prosperity, right there. That is how to prosper. Seek ye first. And of course, that shouldn't be difficult to believe. If you were Jesus, and this is the reason why you came into the world, and you died a painful, shameful death, you would be happy with anyone who makes your death useful. And very unhappy with anyone who makes your death useless. Isn't it? Yeah. You know, our time is up. We'll continue tomorrow. Because it's 10 o'clock. I just saw the time. Okay? So, I'll just stop right here, right here. Somebody remind me what I last said. And tomorrow I'll continue from this very spot. Okay, tomorrow come early and we'll continue. Amen. Stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close. Hallelujah. Amen. How many are blessed tonight? How many feel like God is talking to you? How many can see some answers too? Can you see some answers right there? Yes, I'm telling you that this is the word of the Lord. God is showing us that he gave us a ministry of reconciliation. And unless you are fully engaged and properly engaged in the ministry of reconciliation, you can't please God. You can't please God. Do you think God saved us to be singing to him? I mean, this is your praise and worship. Have you read the book of Revelation about the sort of music that is going on in heaven? Do you understand what I'm saying? The sort of music that goes on in heaven. 24 elders. Do you get it? Yeah. Wearing white gowns with golden crowns, casting forth the crown and lying flat on the floor, worshiping him. You you have your clothes from Walmart, you will not even kneel down to worship. You think Jesus came to die for that worship that you have? If you took your clothes to even Goodwill shop, they won't accept it. You think Jesus came to die for this, your worship? Worship songs, you don't even know the words. Worship songs that are played by musicians who half the time don't even know the song. Just guessing and playing chords and notes and just guessing. You think that's why Jesus came to die? If that's what Jesus wanted, he would have stayed in heaven. Because there's a much higher quality of worship and music and dancing that goes on in heaven than anything he can find here on earth, and especially in Oklahoma City. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
So God is putting up with our worship. Because he hopes that when it's over, we will find our true purpose and start to pursue it. Do you understand? And not turn the whole church experience rather into come to church, sing three fast songs followed by two slow ones. To get three fast songs, two slow ones. You see? Yeah. Three fast, two slow, then offering, then choir, then the pastor comes to preach. Do you get it? And then he goes up and we repeat that next Sunday. And when they are selecting the song, they say, oh, last week we sang this, so it's okay. No, we sang it last week, so let's not sing it today. Let's sing another, a different one. You know. And the Lord is just watching us. He's just watching us. Because you know, sometimes you watch your kids play with meaningless things. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, you know it's a toy. They think it's a real baby. You get it? They try to put food in the mouth of a dog. You know it's a toy, but they think it's a real baby. Do you get it? But it's okay for the child's pleasure, so they can feel happy, because it's all part of the expression of the parent's love. Do you understand? To allow the child to be happy. Wow. But as you mature in Christ, you have to start lifting up your eyes and start thinking a little deeper and realizing that this type of two fast songs, three slow ones, it cannot sustain your Christian life forever. At a point, you're going to get tired of it. Yeah, you're going to get tired of it. At a point, the quarrels in the church alone will take you out in spite of the three fast songs and two slow songs. Yes. Yes. You'll be in the choir, and even you, the one who makes the music, will be the one who is annoyed. And you even stop singing. That's not our purpose. He didn't save us to sing in a choir. He didn't save us to be ushers. He didn't save us to just come and dance around here. All of that, God has top-notch quality in heaven. Please. And Jesus is used to it. The Bible says non-stop. They said all night and all day. Yeah. Wow. There's worship in heaven. And they say holy, holy, holy. You get it? Yes. They lift up holy hands in heaven. You have the audacity to lift up these your hands. The places these hands have been. Let's not discuss your hands. some of these brothers here. The things these hands have handled. And you say you are lifting up holy hands. And God, but God doesn't have a problem. He'll tolerate those hands. So long as when you put them down, you're going to get to the job. Because that's important to him. Because that's what Jesus paid the price for. In Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, the Bible says, the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. Do you understand? Apostle Paul said, this is a worthy saying. He says, and it is worthy of all acceptation. That means everyone everywhere must accept this. This saying deserves acceptance in every place. What is the saying? That Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. That's the main purpose. If we don't get involved with that, we've missed our purpose. Yes, and soon our gatherings will lose their meaning. Yes, they will lose it. There will be no point. What are we going to do? Bow your heads with me, everybody, and just pray. Just bow your heads, everybody, and just pray and say, Lord, I just want to be involved. I want to take up my ministry of reconciliation. Making people friends with you. I want to take up my work of reconciliation. Just pray and ask God. Say, Lord, please help me. Thank you, Jesus. Oh God. Oh God, have mercy on us. Pray and ask God to forgive us. Let's ask God to forgive our insensitivity to the ministry of reconciliation. Our hearts have been latched onto other things. We've become interested in other things, running after other things. That is the church today. But God wants us. God wants us to be involved with the ministry of reconciliation. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes. Help us, Lord. Pray for yourself. Don't even think about the church. Just think about you. Because you are the one who has been saved by the blood of Jesus. You are the one who owes something to God. You are the one that God has given the ministry of reconciliation to. Oh, yes. Jesus, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. Father, we want to repent tonight. We want to repent of our indifference to the ministry that you have given to us, to the call that you have placed on our lives, to be ministers of reconciliation. We acknowledge, Lord, our sin. We acknowledge our apathy. We acknowledge our lack of interest and insensitivity to what for you is your heartbeat, for which reason you sent your only begotten Son to die for us. We pray, O God, that you will change this church. Change us as individuals. Cause us, O God, to turn around and start heading in a new direction, Lord. give us a heart for souls and a passion for the lost. The same kind of passion that makes you give up your only begotten son. We want to have it too. That we will be prepared to give up anything that is precious to us, including our time, including our reputation, in order for people to come to know you and for people to be friends with you. We pray, O God, that you will help us in the name of Jesus. Thank you for your blessing tonight. As we close the service, maybe you're here tonight and you're saying, Pastor, pray with me because I am not saved. I'm not born again. I have not been washed by the blood of Jesus. Or I'm not sure that I am washed by the blood of Jesus. But if I died today, I don't know if I'll go to heaven or not. I want to give you that opportunity to be sure. To be sure. Because you better believe that this world is not your home. You are just passing through, and one day it will end here and begin elsewhere. And where it will begin will be determined by what you did with Jesus Christ. That is why I'm offering you that opportunity here tonight. So if you're here tonight, and you're not sure if you're saved or not, you're not sure if you're ready for heaven or not, I want to give you an opportunity. While every eye is closed, just simply slip up your right hand and I'll pray with you. Just raise up your right hand right where you are and I'm going to pray with you. Is there anybody here like that? Just keep your hand up. I see your hand. God bless you. Who else? You want to be sure that when you die, you will go to heaven. Just raise up your right hand. I'd like to see it and pray with you. Right. Why don't we all just say this prayer? You with your hand up at the back, just keep it up. But just say this prayer after me. And everybody join us as we say this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me. I acknowledge I'm a sinner. I cannot save myself. But your blood cleansed me. Let your blood cleanse me. Let your blood wash me and make me a child of God. Say, thank you, Jesus. Please forgive my sins. Please forgive my sins, Lord, and make me a true child of God. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord. All right.